cliffcentral.com.
Hi, everyone. You're listening to Wedding Central on Cliff Central with myself, Cardi De Villiers.
And myself, Ntombi Tlapo.
And what are we talking about today, Ntoms?
So today we wanted to discuss kind of when your supplier has you under arrest. And what we mean by that is, you know, when you've signed a contract, and you know, this is the sales game, and this is what I find sometimes unfortunate. Mm-hmm. You know, you sign onto a contract because somebody has a meeting with you, and you love them, and you do the consult, and you're all in or whatever. And now, as you go through the planning, and now you're starting to, you know, detail the stuff for your wedding, you realize, oh shucks, half the things that I wanted to do, this place or this supplier doesn't do or yes. doesn't offer, and they won't compromise, or even worse, they want to charge you over and above what you've agreed to pay, which sometimes you just don't have the extra coins.
Yeah.
Like, it's not in the budget. You know, if I've signed, let's say, for example, for a venue.
Yeah.
You know, you've signed on and you want X, Y, Z, and, you know, yeah, no problem. You know, if you want to change your menu, don't stress. We'll do a consult. And then, you know, now you want to change the menu yeah. and you want to add something, and then your venue's like, oh, no, it's either menu A or menu B, and if you want to change it, there's an additional surcharge for everyone. And
yes.
now that's going to cost you plenty. More money.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's I think it's quite a big bone of contention at the moment in suppliers' lives.
Mm.
I mean, we are there to be a creative partner with a client, and we find sometimes we actually end up being put in a box quite often.
Mm.
And I think for clients, actually, for couples getting married, it tends to limit them as well. It tends to limit their creativity, in general, and sometimes costs the bride and groom more.
Yeah, 100%. And I also find that it's unfortunate because also I feel like at the beginning of your planning stage, you don't know everything that you want in full.
Mm.
Like, you have an idea of what you want,
yeah.
but you haven't started, like, fleshing out all your ideas.
Yeah.
And then now when you're starting to get into the planning and now you're hitting all these roadblocks that are now going to, you know, change the course of how you go.
Yeah.
Why don't we start with venues and kind of typical arrest points, let's call it that, or you know, points or surprises that may come after you've then signed. You know, you went in, you saw the venue, absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
You know, they schmoozed you and said, oh, don't stress, anything you want we can do for you.
Yeah.
You're really flexible.
Mm-hmm.
They love to say that.
Yeah.
Really flexible, don't yeah. stress.
I think it comes down to just making sure before you sign on the dotted line with that contract, when booking the venue, is double check everything that is in that contract.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, I've recently, you know, we've got a wedding coming up, and a client had already booked the venue, and, you know, it's beautiful and it's going to be great, but they only allow you to start setting up at 12 o'clock.
Oh,
if you
word.
Want to set up at from 8, I mean, the wedding starts at 3 o'clock.
Oh,
I mean,
my
come
God.
On. So you've got
chaos.
Literally
pandemonium.
A couple of hours to set up this wedding, and it's a decent venue. I mean, a client's got a client getting married there is going to have a very decent budget.
Mm.
You can't expect your creative people to set up in a couple
of hours.
No,
yeah.
It's ridiculous. And if you want to start setting up at 8 o'clock, it's an additional 30,000 rand.
Oh my God, that's huge. That could be
rand.
Huge for the bar, for the decor, for your dress, for anything.
Yeah.
30,000 rand is not chump change.
And
that's
it's
a
not,
lot of
and
money.
It's not like they're not charging venue hire either.
Already,
yeah,
already.
So I mean, that can be, that's a big thing.
Yeah, you know, and the thing is also by the time you know how it usually works, especially in Joburg. Clients usually find their venue before they find their planner.
Yeah.
They come to, you know, 9 times out of 10.
Yeah.
I mean, there's very few clients that will come to you, haven't started anything,
no.
please help.
No, it's the first thing that they
Yeah,
they
usually
to
they
you.
Go to a place, they sign, and then when they start to plan, they realize, oh, shucks, I need someone.
Yeah.
Then, you know, so that's, and sometimes you don't read the fine print. And also sometimes the fine print doesn't affect you. You know
yeah.
what I mean? You read 12 o'clock and it might not be a big deal.
Yeah.
You know.
You don't think about those
yeah, it's
yeah.
not a big deal to you because
yeah.
you're just like, oh, I'm sure if everybody's been doing it, then that's totally fine. But definitely set up logistics is a real issue.
Yeah.
You need to look at, and I always say, just consider just if, you know, I always say common sense, but it's not, it's like a superpower now. It's not so common. But I always say, you know, you have to think of if I'm, think of the wedding that you want, how many people you have, how many tables that is. And think about setting a table at home if
yeah.
you're having like Christmas or Easter
yeah.
lunch or whatever the case
That's
is.
That's such a nice,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Think of how long it takes you to set up that one table.
Mm.
And think of, you know, if you've got 100 guests, that's times 10.
Yeah.
Plus you have to clean the floors and polish everything. And, you know, if you think of that and think of that times 10, think realistically, is somebody going to be able to do that within X amount of hours? especially if you go into, you know, ceiling installations and that kind of thing, that you may need to get a whole day before.
I mean, it's quite interesting when we see with the students. I mean, yeah. we have to give them 2-3 hours sometimes just to set up one table. I'm like, girls, yes. you've gotta, if you're going to do that at a wedding, you're not going to get it done.
Yeah, I constantly say to them, like, guys, you are stressing over one table. And it's like the end of their world.
But that's a normal person. Mm. You know, somebody who's, you know, hasn't had a huge amount of experience in setting tables. It literally takes that long sometimes, and if you're going to get it perfect and spot on, it takes time. Obviously your more experienced people are used to, you know, just driving and getting it all finished on time, but the reality is you can't do it in a couple of hours.
That's not realistic. So set of time is a huge thing that I'm finding is starting to become a super super hot topic is catering at venues is becoming such an issue, and it's different. You know, you must understand that Joburg and, for example, Cape Town work
completely
super,
different.
Super differently. But the common thread I find throughout both places or venues, you know, maybe throughout South Africa, is that catering, a lot of the times they would like to keep it in-house.
Yes, because, I mean, that's their main source of income.
That and the bar. Mm. That's kind of where they make their money.
It's understandable. And for me, you've got
it's
to...
It's fair.
And I think it is fair. But they've got to get a little bit more creative. Allow the couples to experiment and get creative with their weddings.
100%. It frustrates me to no end. Literally, my blood boils when a venue says to me, that's our policy. Oh my God, I want to strangle someone. You know what I mean? Because I always say to them, like, I understand it's a general policy for everyone, but it's also somebody's only wedding. It's their only day.
Yeah.
So if there's any chance that you could make, and it's not about changing a menu completely. Mm. It's about sitting with a couple, maybe doing the tasting first and then discussing with them afterwards. Mm. Is there anything they'd like to change? Anything that could possibly make that particular menu unique? Do you know what I mean? I'm dealing with a client.
You know what? A lot of the times they just want to do step and repeat, step and repeat.
That's it. That's it. You know, I'm dealing with a client now who, she's South African and her husband is Scottish.
Uh-huh.
And obviously the families are coming together and they want some of the wedding food, some, not all, just like a few aspects, maybe the canapes, maybe the dessert, just somewhere for there to be a South African flavor as well as a Scottish flavor so that both families can kind of experience across, you know, whatever. And these venues are just like, no.
No.
That's either A or B. And for me, that's kind of ridiculous. Mm. And then, okay, cool. Can we bring it in and then you can charge us like a surcharge or whatever?
No.
You're not giving a client really any options. You know what I mean?
I mean, just to defend them, the venues, is a lot of the times they don't want to do it because just in case somebody gets sick.
Sure, 100%. 100%.
But maybe if it's a reputable caterer,
And this is what I'm saying.
Then you come to the party.
And this is what I'm saying. I so wish that venues would open their...
eyes and their minds.
Yes, open their eyes and also open their options. And for me, it always exposes a certain fact for me. So I hope you would open your eyes and be open to the fact that if you're not going to offer the service, whatever the service may be, whether it's flowers, whether it's draping, whether it's whatever, whatever the service may be, allow your clients to bring somebody in that only you approve. So not just Joe Schmo from the corner, whatever the case is. Look at the supplier. Have a conversation with the supplier. Be happy. If the supplier needs to sign an agreement with your venue, then go through that process. I don't mind that at all. But if you're not going to supply something for a client, I think by all means you should let the client be able to bring it in somewhere else, and then you can perhaps like oversee that or make sure that it's within your standards or whatever.
And I think just in general, I think people need to become a little bit more flexible.
Yeah.
I mean, in these times, people want to do things differently. Also, it comes down to people referring you. You know, if you are putting your foot down, I can guarantee you, you're not going to get any referrals.
And another,
like, don't go there. All they do is like...
And another thing, especially popular venues, chances are a lot of people have been there. Do you know what I mean? I have clients who, you know, by the time they get to me, maybe they've booked at a venue and they're like, oh my God, you know, this other venue, we've been there 8 times. Because, you know, friends always get married in packs. Yeah. You know, it's a trend. One person starts getting married, everyone starts getting married. And you have to consider the fact that if all of those people who are attending that particular wedding have to come back for a wedding there or are going to have their wedding there in the next 2 years, let's say, for example, you can't be offering them the same menu.
Copy and paste.
Come on. You gotta. You know what I mean? And sometimes I bring that up to a client, to a venue, and I say, listen, the client's been here for 4 weddings. Please, they've had all of these menus that you have. Can we change a couple of things or whatever? Because they've literally had everything. Can we? No, that's our policy. Oh, God. I just want to scream. It just, it doesn't make sense to me that you're not willing to. And for me, this exposes the one fact. For me, it says to me, that means you don't have a chef in-house.
Mm.
What you have are people that cook.
Yes.
You have a standard menu. You order the same amount of potatoes, same amount of meat, same amount of veggies every week. And you have people that just cook it out. That's it. You're not willing to have a chef who's going to sit down and change a sauce or, you know, change the makeup of a meal or, you know, change how they're preparing the different starches or whatever the case is. You don't have somebody who's going to be the mind that's going to make a meal enjoyable for the guest. And for me, that's what it exposes. And every time I bring that up, touchy. Yeah, they are not keen to admit that particular fact. And it's a cheap thing. And I understand labor is expensive. Finding good help is, I think, a cry that everybody struggles with.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes hiring a head chef, even if it's some, I always say even consult a head chef. Do you know what I mean? Bring somebody in who will consult maybe every 3 months and then teach the guys how to prepare the stuff. And then they can prepare for the next seasons instead of maybe having somebody in full time. Mm. That may be more cost effective than having a full time chef there all the time.
Then let's talk about if you go to a venue and you can use the in-house caterer or they have preferred catering.
Oh, God. Oh.
Untomi loves, this is a hot topic. Can you tell from Untomi at the moment?
My God. Okay, so the issue is, you go to a venue, they don't have catering. Or they say that they don't have catering. Mm. Or for years, we know that they don't have in-house catering. Let's put it that way. They've never had in-house catering. This venue goes ahead and they say, we don't have in-house catering, but we work with about 8 to 10 preferred caterers. Mm. So you're only allowed to choose from this particular list. But this list is good.
Mm.
Like, it's not like a limiting, it's not a limiting list. It's not a list that is super expensive or whatever. There's wide variety. There's different tastes. It's a good list.
It's a good
list. We're happy to work with the list. Yeah. No problem. Get there from the venue. Immediately start vetting the caterers, go for tastings. Venue even calls, who are you going with for catering? Oh, this caterer. Ah, wonderful. They're amazing. They work here all the time. Great. Boom. 2 weeks before the function, the client, the venue says, okay, we're going to now charge a surcharge for using the supplier that you've chosen for catering.
But the caterers generally pay anyway. To be at...
Now this is the thing. People need to be aware, right? People need to be aware that caterers, if you're on a preferred suppliers list, especially when it comes to catering, chances are they are definitely paying some kind of a commission or some kind of something to the venue to be at that particular venue.
And to use the kitchen.
To use the kitchen, all kinds of things. But there is some kind of payment between the supplier who's the caterer and the venue happening for them to be on that particular list. Which then shocks me that if the venue, if the caterer is still paying that, why does the client also still have to pay over and above what they're paying the caterer, over and above venue hire, over and above everything that the venue is offering, still have to pay a surcharge per guest for using the caterer that was chosen recommended by the venue? It's very vague in the contract.
Okay.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
See, that's where it comes down to. Every little thing needs to be scrutinized. It's like we actually have to have law degrees just to
100%. And this is the thing. Clients. Even in the contract, the wording is something along the lines of, if you use an external caterer, there's a surcharge. But then they push you to use the list.
Yes.
And only 2 weeks before, once we've already paid the caterer and everything, they say to us, oh, yeah, you have the option to use in-house catering.
But they don't have in-house
catering. But when did you start having in-house catering? This is new to me. Do you know what I mean? That was never brought up as an option. And I just feel like they've never even sent menus and said, these are our menus if you want to choose, or you can go with they've always just pushed the catering list, you know, and said, these are the caterers that we use. More than welcome to choose from this list. It's amazing to me. Shocked.
I think, you know, a lot of the venues are trying to make as much money as they can from various suppliers. And I mean, I think this is why we've possibly done this podcast is because, we're all getting pushed into this tiny little box.
Yeah.
And if you're not on their preferred supplier list or whatever, it just, you get cut out sometimes.
Yeah. I think another thing is that people are still trying to keep to the same,
formula.
Yeah, same formula, instead of looking at the formula and changing it or adapting it to the times.
Yes.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yes, I get it. Times
are
really
not, yes, they're on, are they not trying to do a preferred supplier list type thing to adapt to the times?
So yeah.
Make more money.
Yeah, you could look at it two ways, right? Mm. So, and I don't think that's the best approach.
No. See, it's not the best. It may be the best approach for them because it's the easier route and the quicker way to make money, but not necessary for the people who are using them.
Yes, 100%. And the only thing I'm saying is that be upfront. I would rather a venue say to us, our venue hire, all inclusive, by the time you have your function or by the time you have your wedding, your venue hire all in all is probably going to be about 80,000 minus the bar. I would rather swallow that pill than you saying my venue hire is 20,000 rand and then there's a surcharge for this and we don't have chafing dishes and we don't have this and you have to bring in this. And now when you put in all of those things that actually should be making up a venue, now I'm looking at 80, 85,000 rand and it's a huge difference. And all I'm saying is that perhaps they need to just change what they're including and how they're doing their particular formula, like what they're offering as a venue. And then over and above that, then maybe create something different that they can give options to clients. Because again, even with decor, there's a lot of venues that are starting to offer in-house decor. And the decor places, I can imagine. and the decor place is on site. And that now becomes an issue because then they'll say, oh, there's no setup, there's no delivery, there's no all of those extra charges that you would get from somebody else, that now all of a sudden falls away. And then if a client wants to choose somebody else, there's a surcharge again. And it's just like, again, you're just forcing people to use the stuff that's there. And although it may be convenient, you don't know what other options your client could have had. And all I'm saying is that offer more variety and give the choice to the client to make the final decision.
I think in terms of, you know, you've got to understand it from venue sides. They obviously want people who are reliable working at their venues. They want people who they've tried and tested. So, you know, I totally get it, but it's also cutting out a lot of the smaller businesses, and we don't actually need that in this industry.
This is what
we
I'm
saying.
We
need to actually help each other. Yes, we have a lot of fly-by-nights.
Yes.
We really do.
Yes.
But don't just go and say we only have one supplier that you must use.
Yes.
Because you are really cutting out a lot of people that work really hard. And also, your venue, you want to showcase your venue every weekend when you bring new clients through. You don't want to have the same wedding every single weekend because guaranteed, the person who is the preferred supplier at that wedding venue has their style.
Yeah.
And
same. Yeah, same. Look, okay, we're going to do big balls, going to be blush, and that's kind of what we're going to push or whatever the case
but
is.
But it's true. I mean, you do find it. I mean, as a decor specialist, there are, you know, you work a lot at a particular type of venue, and the clients tend to go with the same type of color, the same look and feel. Why? Because they've possibly come to the venue
and they've seen
a setup and they're like, oh, okay, yes. And they see it work. So, you know, I can understand where it comes from, but it is, again, it's not giving the client the best results at the end of the day for their wedding.
Yeah. You know, for me, in the ideal world, I think it would be great if venues almost had like an agreement with suppliers in terms of quality control. So if your client, if the client chooses to bring somebody in, that particular supplier has to go through some kind of signing and have to admit,
planning, 100%.
You have to, it's almost like a screening almost so that you don't get caught out
and
you have an agreement.
Yes.
And you have an agreement and you say to the supplier, you need to sign this. This is what you need to produce. This is what you need to give us in order to work here. And if you're not willing to provide those documents or you're not willing to sign particular documents, then you can't work there. Then that's fair.
And I'm actually quite surprised that more venues are not doing this.
Yes.
I mean, I know for the likes of, there's a venue out in Hardy Pierce Dam, they literally, you have to sign their decor and setup contract that you will deliver this by this time, you will be set up by this time, you will not remove any items, you will not do this. They've got a list of regulations of what they want
which
you to conform,
fair.
Which is completely fair. And I do feel, I know that venues have now gone the route of starting to do preferred supplier lists. Whether you pay to be on that supplier list or not, that's two ways. But I understand why they're starting to do it, because they're trying to protect themselves, although they have waived all responsibility for suppliers. But I think venues actually need to get decor companies to set
design contracts. That, for me, would be sublime. Like, for me...
And it's such a simple thing.
It's such a simple thing. Or, and if you don't want to sign, then you can't work here.
Yeah.
Finish. Then the client is forced to then find somebody else. Yeah. And I wish if that was attached to the contract that you sign when you sign onto the venue, and you explain, please listen, when you go see your decor people, please make sure that they sign this before you start the mock-up and what, because we don't want you to commit to somebody who's not willing to work here.
Yeah.
I think life would be
and it,
so
much. It protects the client.
It protects everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone is protected. Your stuff's going to be there on time. Everybody's liable who needs to be liable. And the venue's also protected in that. And I think that's the best way to go. And I so wish that
I think we've just like a light bulb moment.
Yeah.
Why don't venues just do that for themselves?
Yes. And that's going to protect you so much more and the client. And then you don't have to say, oh, well, this is my fault. The client is aware that the person was supposed to sign a specific contract or whatever the case is.
And
that
have,
for me would be
penalties.
More effective. Yeah.
You know, the one venue, there's a 2,000 rand penalty if you are not set up by this certain time. It will force people.
Yeah.
You know,
you have
sometimes those margins are only 2,000 rand. You can't afford to pay a penalty.
100%.
So why not?
100%. I think venues just need to get it up on that particular thing. And then also just one more thing that I think arrests people or perhaps surprises people, especially with decor. And I think we've mentioned it, I think sometime last year, is decor. Breakages and mock-up costs.
Yes, it's a big thing, hey?
It's huge thing.
It's the first thing that clients will question when we do a quote.
So shocked.
They'll be like, why are you charging us 3,000 rand for a mock-up? I'm not going to lie to you. We will end up spending more than what we actually charge you for a mock-up because we've got to get extra just in case. Mm. And, you know, it's not like we're buying in buckets and buckets and buckets. It's like a bunch here and a bunch here and a bunch here. And, you know, and it's time.
It's time.
Do you know, and I think we've discussed it before, but I've done an exercise with people going into the market to explain to them how long it takes. And they say, oh, how long do you think it takes? And they're like, oh, an hour, 2 hours. I'm like, right, let's do it.
Yeah.
And I write it on the board. And it's literally an 8-hour process.
Yes, to do a mock-up. It's not a quick throw together goodie bag.
No.
It's an 8-hour process. And to get the stock clean and to get other options available for the client and your base plates and your linen and all this stuff, it is very, very much a process. And I always say to my clients, do you know what? Essentially, we're paying for a small, we're not even paying the actual hourly rate. Mm-hmm. We're paying a very discounted rate for time.
You don't even charge for time.
No, but... And flowers.
Yeah.
But I'm saying there is a cost, because then if they say to you, okay, well, can we just get the you know, clients are getting so, and I get it, because it's money.
I get it.
I get it. It's that time of, you know, it's that time where every rand counts, and people want to say, oh, well, can I then just pay the flower invoice? It doesn't work like that. And that's why I always say, it's a combination of a very discounted rate of time. You're not paying for stock and you're paying for flowers. And you're more than
literally
welcome to take,
that.
Yeah, and you're more than welcome to take the flowers with you. I haven't met one decor supplier that's like, no, you can't take the flowers.
Yeah.
If you've paid for the flowers, you're more than welcome to take the flowers. That's not a problem at all. But now what I've actually started to do with my clients is something that I'm calling a dry mock-up. Which?
No flowers. Which makes complete sense.
Do you know what I mean?
But doesn't give them the entire picture.
100%. And this
then
is,
they like
this
question
is,
everything.
Yes. And this is the thing. And this is, you know, I say to them, look, you do have an option of a dry mock-up. And we'll go and we'll see the vases and we'll go and we'll see the linen and we'll go and we'll see the candles.
Oh, please don't do that to me.
You know what I mean? And the thing is, when you explain it to them, we can go see it. But I always say to them, you're not going to see anything. Because all you're looking at is vases. Now you have to, you know, beckon your imagination and think, oh, but the flowers will sit like this. And I always say, we, as the wedding industry, know what flowers will look like.
Yeah.
Know what different textures will look like.
Yeah, yeah.
But you, as a client, you don't know, you know, when a rose and a snap and a hydrangea and all of those flowers are together. Yeah. You don't know when all of those flowers together what the end product will be.
Yeah.
So you need to see it. Mm. You know what I mean? So I don't think it'll work to your advantage. However, I do understand that if mock-ups are a huge thing for you, opt to go for a dry mock-up and then hope for the best for your flowers. The thing is, now you won't be able to hold anyone to account. If you walk into your wedding day and you don't like the flowers, you're not going to be able to hold, because we don't have anything to say, oh, but this was the mock-up, so it doesn't look like anything.
Yeah.
If the vases are there, then it's enough, essentially.
Yeah.
So that's the danger. But, you know, the cost of mock-ups you cannot avoid, and it's not a money-making thing. It's not people trying to pull one over on you.
It's actually, for us as a business, it's actually a loss.
Yes, 100%.
A complete loss. But it has to be done to make sure that we eliminate any uncertainty, any, you know, unhappiness on the day. We have to have that.
Yeah.
We have to pull that into our cost.
You know, with doing research just with, like, especially like luxe planners, and I'm speaking, you know, people that work in dollars and that kind of level, I've actually figured out that, you know what, maybe if people have planners, and I don't know if South Africa's at that point yet, but I'm thinking I really want to gear myself up to a point where I actually include all of those additional costs in our fee so that the client doesn't feel like it's something additional.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So mock-ups, dress fittings, cake tastings, all of these small costs that are part of the process.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And you know that your client's going to go through it. I think also, you know, if maybe we can get to that level.
It's not a bad idea.
You know what I mean? As planners, then it's going to be much easier on the client.
And you could call it like a pre... Like
you can call it something, but just cover that cost, because then I also feel like the client doesn't walk in thinking of money.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I want the client to walk in and be, oh, it's so beautiful and what, and, you know, fall in love with the things that you said that you like and how it's coming together, whatever the case is, and don't think, oh, that's a lot of flowers. That means it's going to cost a lot of money. Or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't want it to be a money orientated thing. So maybe we would move towards that. You know, maybe planners should start thinking towards that kind of line, and maybe just include that as a line item and then take that off the client, you know, so that it's not all the, because it all adds up. You know what I mean? 3 cake tastings is like almost 600 rand, you know, dress fitting, suit consults, all of that stuff costs money. So maybe we move towards that, and then also breakages.
Yes.
Breakages are
a big thing.
They're such a hot topic. Because people think that they're not liable for things that break because the client wasn't the one that broke them.
Yeah.
Tell me or explain to people why breakages gets charged to a client and how the breakages cost comes about. And also how it differs. Some people will say 10,000 rand breakage.
Yeah.
And then some people will say 1,000 rand breakage. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So what creates that breakage cost, and like how do we get to that breakage point?
I mean, we tend to try and keep our breakage deposit lower but we're setting up stock, we are collecting stock,
yes,
that type of thing.
Yes.
So we are very strict in terms of our setup and our delivery, and
who touches your stuff.
And we've got all the documentation and stuff like that. And it's quite interesting when I do the exercise with newcomers, how you would do a packing list and whatever else to eliminate any confusion. They say, but is there somebody there that checks the stuff from the bride side? You know what? More often than not, actually, I have never had a bride say, you know what, this person is coming to check that we've got all the candles and whatever else. If we had to, yes, all the documentation is there. But the reality is it doesn't
Nobody's
happen.
Checked, yeah.
You know, so it also comes down to honesty from the supplier's point of view. And it's your checks and balances as well. But yes, it's a challenge after the wedding to try and get any money back, you know, if there are breakages.
And this is why people... You know, it's very important that you understand this is why that the breakage cost is there before the wedding.
Yeah.
Because I promise you, after
to get
that
it
wedding,
after is ridiculous.
You guys don't care.
No.
And it's fair because you're done with it and you're just like, I paid you your money.
Yeah.
It was great. Thank you so much. But I'm not dealing with you anymore. I'm not paying you one more
cent. I'm done.
Yeah. Let's call it. Do you know what I mean? But afterwards, there is huge breakages sometimes because perhaps the venue, because maybe they want to turn around, they want to turn the venue around.
I mean,
they've got a function the following day, so they need to clear everything. Whatever, but sometimes if they've said to us we can break down at midnight, then the people will come and they'll break down at midnight. Ideally, it's not the best because safety in South Africa.
Yeah.
But you know, if we need to come at midnight and break things down, they will come so that the people come in the morning and they can set up.
You know, we've sat where 12 o'clock was cut off time, and literally we sat till three, four o'clock in the morning waiting for the party to finish. We are actually going to start charging a surcharge anything over 12:30 because our team is sitting there, it's literally waiting, like, it's like watching paint dry. It's an overtime cost
100%.
That we're all incurring. So, you know, there's that as well. So there's the overtime costs that also clients
fall into it.
Yeah, 100%.
So please don't be surprised if after your wedding stuff has been broken and you need to pay for it. Because really, if you do break it, you need to fix. Somebody has to foot the bill for that. You can't just keep absorbing.
Yeah. And you may not have broken it.
Yes.
You have. It's amazing how guests can be very disrespectful.
Yes.
Of 100%.
Oh, yeah. And I always crazy. Say, and you know, when a client says to me, oh, I want all low centerpieces, I always ask why. And they say, you know what? My guests get so annoyed by not being able to see over the table. And for that, then I respect it, because what I also don't want is people just grabbing vases and grabbing flowers and just putting them on the floor.
But
or
if
whatever.
It's low, keep it very low.
That's what I mean, is that like, if they've said it because, and it's because their guests get annoyed, then we need to make sure that it's not in anyone's line of vision. Yeah. Do you know what
and
I mean?
That's super low.
Yeah, no, that's nothing, basically.
If you want low arrangements, you have to go super low.
Yeah,
Yeah,
so yeah, don't be surprised by breakages. And then also just another thing that people are always surprised about as well, just in terms of terms and conditions, is hair and makeup and paying for a trial. Same concept as a markup. You're using... A lot of times, especially for, you know, a trial, whether it's hair and for makeup, usually using actually a lot more product that I would actually end up using on the day, because there's so many changes.
And
you
it's
know
a lot
mean?
More time, if you think about
a
it.
A lot
you
more
know,
time.
I mean, you have to drive there, you have to sit there, you have to coffee, you have to where it's like 3-4 hours, I would say, out of your day. Whereas for a wedding, you get there, you do the face, you do a number of faces. So the time per person is a lot less than when you're doing 100%. A trial.
100%, and you know, you do the foundation, oh, I like it this, you want more coverage, less coverage, you take off, you put on, you know, it's a lot more product that goes into it, and every woman knows makeup is expensive. Jeez. So who do you think is going to absorb that cost?
And it's not just like any makeup, it's proper, what we should be doing proper makeup.
Yeah,
100%. So, I mean, what's the average? It's about two and a half thousand rand for
Bridal makeup, you're going to pay about 2,000-2,500 rand for trial, touch-up kit, and on the day, all inclusive. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So that's kind of like the going rate just for a bride. And then obviously then there's the additional faces over and above that. And that's all inclusive. If you want to break it down to a per face value, it's anywhere from about 500 to like 900 rand. Every application.
Yeah. And then just another thing that I think a lot of brides forget is when it comes to the hair. A hairstylist does not want to come out for you only. Unfortunately,
it doesn't make financial sense.
It doesn't. That's the reality. They will make more money in a salon on a Saturday than coming out for you. So you've got to keep it. You've got to be realistic when looking at a hairstylist. You may even, if it's just you and one bridesmaid, you may actually have to go to the salon, get your hair done, and then go on to the baby.
I always say, rather get a freelance stylist. Yeah. I think people like to have commitments to their hairstylist. Oh, I've been doing my hair for 7 years. That's not, it doesn't make sense. Because I always say Murphy's Law is a real thing, especially when it's around weddings. If you are not at your venue and getting ready at your venue, something's going to happen. That's going to be the day where there's an accident on the highway and they've closed it and now you can't get in. And, you know, there's issues that happen or whatever the case is. Ideally, you just want to get somebody who's a stylist. You know, the people that do magazines and stuff like that. Get those people to come in and style you guys, because those people don't mind driving around. That's what they do.
That's what they specialize in.
They're not stationed anywhere in particular.
Yeah, so just keep your mind open.
And read everything and ask all the questions. And I always say, for me, the safest thing, especially if you don't know the language and you don't have a plan or whatever the case is, I always say, talk about the things that you especially want. So if you go to a venue and you know that you're going to want, something specific. Or food trucks, or, you know, market style or whatever. Say that when you go there and say, this is what I want to do in terms of, can you allow it? How will we do it? This is what I had in mind, and go with pictures, and then that's going to dictate whether they can do it or not. Don't just go with, oh, we're very flexible, we'll do everything. That's a sales thing. You really want to make sure that the things that you specifically want, you know, if you go to your makeup artist and say, oh, I want lashes, I want individual lashes, if they can't do it, say so. Speak specifically about the things that you want for your wedding, and that will then give you a hint on whether your supplier will be able to help you.
I would say, like, read your contract out aloud.
Read
it to your partner, and then like converse.
And you'll be like,
that's
clever.
I think that's just generally a good way of just getting understanding everything. But I hope we've shed some light, and I know it's been, you know, it is a hot topic between suppliers as well. But at the end of the day, and Tommy and myself are very passionate about upskilling, growing the industry, and actually giving clients their value for money, and actually educating clients as well.
Yes, especially in this time.
Yeah, we don't want people being taken for a ride and spending unnecessarily.
Yeah, and having to settle for your wedding. You thought you could do this, and now you can't, and now you're stuck with only these options or whatever.
So I hope you've enjoyed this podcast, and keep up with the conversation on hashtag WeddingCentral. CliffCentral.com.